Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
The, Late for the Break show, Sal was in for you yesterday. We were talking about mentors and mentees.
Did you hit the brakes on time yesterday?
Well, we were talking about, Sal used an example, like what Brayton would have learned from us.
Uh-huh.
I said, getting being late to the break. Here it is, we're back late.
A fine tradition handed down from producer to producer.
It's our fault. We just keep talking.
But look, it could be worse. We could just stop talking and then there'd be dead air.
That show would sound better.
Improvement.
All right, Sal's waiting on the AT&T hotline. Technically booked for 8, but 8:08, it's fairly close. Taking us behind the scenes with the Bills is Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices across the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. Good morning, Sal.
Yeah, pretty soon you guys are going to ask me to come on for lunch instead of...
Yeah, it's a time change thing. You know, when I say 8, think 9.
Meanwhile...
Yeah, well, I know that. In fact, true story. So I'm up, I'm doing my thing. I'm like, well, I got to go on at 8 this morning. And then I said, but I also have to shave. I looked, it was 7:49, and I said, I totally have time because I know they're not coming to me at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Honest, true
yep.
story. So I was able to get in the shower, shave, get ready, because I knew you were not coming to me until at least 8:05.
Look, everybody has someone in their life. Mine happens to be my wife. Everybody has someone in their life who is always, right? You can just bank on them being 10 minutes off. So if we're
yes.
going out to dinner, we're going to a movie, we're going anywhere, we got an airplane to catch, I will always tell my wife 15 minutes earlier than the actual time we need to be out of the house.
There is a friend of mine that's the same way, and we do the same thing with him. I'm not that way at all. I like to be way early for everything.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I apologize, but at least you're used to it, and you're expecting it from us. Is LeSean McCoy going to be traded?
You know, I don't know, but I listen to the way Sean McDermott speaks. I listen to the way LeSean McCoy speaks, and when you don't have confirmation or denials and, you know, you try and put the pieces together and you know that this player has a history where the, you know, report came from, which is the Eagles calling the Bills. That's what the report is. And I do know that, you know, Howie Roseman always hated the fact that Chip Kelly traded away LeSean McCoy, and he would love to have gotten him back at some point. I think they would love to have him back there if they can, under whatever circumstance, to finish his career. I think you just add all of that up, and I would not be surprised if it comes to fruition at some point. Now, you know, we're sitting here on a Thursday before a game. I don't think it's going to happen today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles play tonight. You know, maybe I don't know what their thinking is as far as when they would want to get somebody in to learn an offense. But I think this thing goes up until the trade deadline. Now, you're risking, if you are interested at all, if you're on the Bills, if you're for the Bills side, you would be risking the Eagles going and making another move. And then that's fine. Then you don't, you know, trade LeSean. But if you're thinking about it at all, you're having these conversations, I think you owe it to your team to maybe see where you go this week and next week, and if you can get some wins here, and then see and figure out where you're at right at that trade deadline, which is the day after the Monday night game against New England.
Sal is with us, by the way. If you have any Bills questions or comments, 803-0550, and you can call in and talk to Sal. When the Bills are thinking about the possibility of LeSean McCoy being traded, how do they factor in Josh Allen, okay? Do they debate the merits of LeSean McCoy and whether you would trade him or not simply on LeSean McCoy? Or do they have to think, well, guys, should we trade this guy? If we do, is Allen starting the rest of the season? He would need McCoy. If Allen's going to come to the bench at some point, we can get rid of LeSean McCoy. Does the quarterback stuff factor in at all, or is it all just the relative merit of LeSean McCoy, his value to the team, and what the offer is?
I think everything factors in. You're talking about an organization and two people specifically, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, who think about every angle possible. I remember going back to the Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby day, and them, especially on Sammy, I remember going to that press conference, and I remember that Sean basically and Brandon both said, like, they went really, really deep into detail. They had ownership involved. They went through every single angle they could about how it impacts every structure of their organization, every facet, whether that's, you know, on the field, off the field, financially, the quarterback, everything. And, you know, they felt that that was the best thing for them. So absolutely, that's part of the discussion. You know, if you do trade away LeSean McCoy, what does that do for your rookie quarterback's development? Does it hinder him in any way? Is it something you can still is it something you still get by without having LeSean on the team the way you want to play football and develop him? Is that why you bring a Derek Anderson in? Because if it does, you know, all those things matter. If it does hurt, you know, his development, maybe that's when you make the switch. Maybe that's why the timing is there. I think everything has to be factored into this, and I'm guaranteeing you they are thinking about all that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I can't stop thinking about McCoy and the impact on Allen, because if last, I don't know if last Sunday was just game plan specific, but if last Sunday is more of a, this is what we need to do right now to protect our young quarterback, then if you're the Bills, you wouldn't want to trade LeSean McCoy at this point.
Right. I mean, the question is, it would boil down to this, I think, what you're asking is, of course they want to commit to the run game to help the young quarterback. How hard is it to commit to the run game and do the things you want to do without LeSean McCoy on the team?
Right.
That would be the question. Can you still do that if you don't have him? Now, the one game they won really kind of handily here was without LeSean. Now, granted, the defense set them up in some great situations. I think we all recognize, you, me, Jeremy, that running back in today's NFL is not nearly the wins above replacement position that it used to be, right? I mean, but as I've made the point, and I will maintain, if I'm a defensive coordinator preparing for the Buffalo Bills and LeSean McCoy is on the other side, at least I have somebody I have to focus on and think about throughout my week. If he's not on the team, I'm not really doing that for Chris Ivory necessarily.
Let me get a call in on LeSean McCoy, and we'll follow up on this as well. 803-0550 to join us. Sal, of course, with us on our AT&T hotline, and we'll go to Mike in Marilla. Mike, you're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So this whole thing with bringing in Derek Anderson and then the LeSean McCoy, like, I'm so confused right now with what direction the Bills want to go in, especially with them keeping Peterman on the roster, too. And, you know, getting rid of a guy like Dean Marlowe, who didn't play a bad game last game. But anyways, this offense, you know, is depleted for players right now. And being in McDermott seemed like the win now kind of guys. I think someone said it earlier. They're not about tanking. They're about winning now. And, I mean, to me, getting rid of McCoy, it's going to hurt Josh Allen, and it's going to hurt the Bills, because you got, you know, we don't have a Fred Jackson sitting behind LeSean McCoy anymore, or even a Gillislee to replace him. And then what are you going to do? You got no receivers, and, you know, you got a Chris Ivory. But
I think Chris Ivory's pretty comparable to Mike Gillislee right now.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I think Chris Ivory is pretty comparable to what you got in Mike Gillislee. You know, the way he runs, the different, I mean, he might be a different style of runner, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're talking about Chris Ivory's no slouch. I mean, he's a professional running back, and he ran pretty well last week. I agree with you. They need LeSean McCoy for the reason I said, which is a defensive coordinator has to game plan for LeSean McCoy. But I think Chris Ivory, you know, can be a guy that can actually carry the ball, that they would be. And plus, Marcus Murphy didn't look too bad, and he's a change of pace back that you have. I think they're in a better situation now than they've been at least for a year or so at running back behind LeSean.
What did McCoy have to say about all this stuff yesterday?
You know, he said that he's just focused on, you know, what's going on, preparing for the Texans. He doesn't want to get into any of that. I thought it was interesting that, you know, he said that's something that, you know, you give your agent takes care of. The people upstairs, he said, you know, when you start using terms like that, I do start to wonder, like, how much smoke there is, right? When he says, that's my agent, the guy's upstairs, you know, that's not a flat-out denial. The Bills didn't have any flat-out denials. They also didn't have any confirmation, obviously, for what it's worth. You know, Sean McDermott just basically said that, I'm not going to get into details on that. He said we do get incoming calls a lot on, you know, situations like this. Can I just address one thing the caller said as well as far as Dean Marlowe?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think, you know, when you watch the way that this team navigates the back end of the roster, I think there is something to be said for maybe there's a little too much turnover there. I don't doubt that, and I think the caller might be right on that. But in a specific example like Dean Marlowe, I mean, if Raphael Bush and Micah Hyde are both available, like, what do you need Dean Marlowe for necessarily? And they could wind up signing him again later this week or next week once he clears waivers. So I think those are little things that we pick on sometimes, but you have to understand that there are numbers issues here, and if the guy is the fifth safety on the team, then you don't need him, and you have to do something with that.
I was curious about three quarterbacks, and Sean McDermott said he was very comfortable keeping three quarterbacks, and I wonder about that, Sal. I mean, you do it now, obviously, because even if you wanted Anderson to play, he doesn't know the playbook, so I get keeping three right now, but long-term over the rest of the season, this group, Bean and McDermott, value roster spots so much so that they cut a receiver after the first game to get a fourth defensive tackle in their rotation. And, I mean, why would they occupy a third roster spot for a quarterback over the rest of the season?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, they said that they're comfortable with it. I think this comes down to who the third quarterback is and how much they like him. Whether you or me or anybody disagrees or agrees, we all know that they like Nathan Peterman and believe that he is a valuable member to their team and their locker room. And for whatever reason, you know, developing him if he has to go into a game and as a backup. Maybe once they feel that Derek Anderson is capable enough to handle the backup duties, things change. But I don't know. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is what he said, which is I'm comfortable with three quarterbacks.
So Anderson met with the media yesterday. Sal, what did he have to say? Anything interesting from your standpoint?
Yeah, you know, he said he was just getting immersed into the playbook, and he doesn't really have that yet, obviously, and he's going to really work his tail off, he said, to get up to speed on that. He said that he's there to provide, you know, whatever help and assistance that either of the quarterbacks need in the quarterback room. But I thought it interesting, too, that, you know, when people basically someone questioned him about, you know, just being, I don't know how the question was phrased, you know, just being there a guy to, you know, be the coach and the mentor and whatever. And he said, well, I'm a competitor, too. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to bring it every day. You know, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he hasn't hung it up. He hasn't retired. If he didn't want to play, he would do that.
Right.
He wants to play. So he's going to go out there and he's going to, at some point, his plan, I'm sure, is to give the Bills every reason to have to decide between, you know, keeping Josh Allen in there or putting him in if Josh Allen struggles. I mean, that's what his job is as a player, is to go out there and produce every single day at practice and to put his name on the depth chart to say, you know, I'm ready to go when you need me.
I'm going to get to calls here in a moment. I forgot, since you mentioned Bush and Hyde a moment ago and Trey White was limited too yesterday, what's the latest on the injury front?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, we don't know about Trey White. He didn't, from what I saw at practice, we get a very limited amount of viewing, as you know. And from what I saw, there was nothing out of the ordinary about Tre'Davious White, you know, necessarily going over and working with trainers. I do know that I saw him walking in, talking with a trainer at the end of practice. But guys do that a lot of times, whether you have nicks and bumps and bruises or you just want to maybe talk about baseball. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so he was in, but he was on the injury report. So it's something to monitor as the week goes on. But I would not read too much into those Wednesday things, because that's when your greater number of guys are going to be limited, just to give them that extra day before you really get into your boatload of practices on Thursday and then pregame on Friday.
All right. Let me get to Brian next. You're on with Sal here on WGR. Go right ahead. Or not. Brian, you there? No?
Yeah.
So, oh, there we go. Yep, go ahead, Brian.
Guys, I had a quick question for you. Not really sure if it's a possibility or not, but if they were to trade McCoy, which by the way, I love him and kind of don't want him to go, but would it be a possibility for them to consider bringing Bell in? It'd kind of be a younger player coming in, filling a similar role. Would that work with the numbers for next year and all that fun stuff?
You mean like now or in the offseason?
You mean trading for Le'Veon Bell now if they traded out McCoy?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, I mean, I don't see this organization doing it. Who knows? I mean, they have a lot of money available. It just seems to me that's not the kind of move that would be something that they would want to make. So, people have debated me on this, and they said, well, look what they were a part of in Carolina. They've always been a part of organizations that's kind of paid running backs, and that's true. LeSean McCoy's making good money. I just don't look at the player himself and what he's gone through. Doesn't scream to me to be the quote-unquote DNA they'd be looking for, right? I mean, as good as Le'Veon Bell is, we all know they look for a certain type of player. And this whole situation with Le'Veon Bell kind of doesn't lend itself to me to think that that's the kind of player they would want to go out and trade for.
Yeah, and, you know, what they'd give up, what the future contract would be, I'd be stunned if that happened. It just wouldn't make sense, I think, on numerous levels in terms of how that fits
right
with what they're doing here. We'll get to Steve next in Lockport. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead with your question or comment, Steve.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was just interested in the LeSean McCoy trade, what's this going to do to our draft or our free agency outlook next year? I mean, now we got so many needs already, and now you're just adding another need to the list.
I think it does exactly that. It adds another need.
Well, yeah, you'd be picking up a pick too.
So maybe you take the pick you get in the trade and use that pick on a running back. You'd get an additional pick in the draft.
I also could make the point that it's still a need, whether LeSean McCoy's on the team or not. He'd be 31 years old next year.
Yep, for sure.
And by the way, the guys backing him up are not really young. Marcus Murphy's like 27 now, 26, 20, he's 27 maybe, 28 next year. So, I mean, like, you're not – whether or not LeSean McCoy is on the Bills at the end of 2018, I think we're talking about what they're doing in the offseason at running back anyway.
Sure.
Because he's scheduled to make $9 million next year, and I don't think there's a guarantee he's on this roster even if he doesn't get traded this year.
That's – honestly, that was the only reason I was thinking when the LeSean McCoy stuff started going, the only reason I thought about a trade was who's not back next year. I don't think Benjamin's back next year. I'm not sure. And now he's not under contract. But as you said, McCoy, Clay's under contract next year. I'm not convinced he's back. So if you got assets and you got value for them, that's why I'd consider trading these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. But
they're still trying to win football games, and you still have to have some players around Josh Allen if he's going to play the rest of the season.
Well, you are 2-3 again. I mean, we have three games here to kind of judge and to see where you are. I think the best course of action here is to slow play it. That's me. And I know there's a risk involved. I mean, if the Eagles say, hey, we really want LeSean, and this is what we're going to give you, and if you don't do this, you know, because we have 10 days to prepare and we need to get him in our building or whatever, and then you have a decision to make. But from the Bills' standpoint, I think they're in a pretty good spot because, you know, if they happen to win at Houston, they might actually have a better negotiating position with any team that wants LeSean McCoy because they could say, we don't have to trade him. We're 3-3, and we're trying to win games.
Right. All right, Mr. C, have fun at practice today.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to everybody then.
Sal takes us behind the scenes with the Bills. It is brought to you by Outlet Liquor for the lowest everyday prices across the state. Shop Outlet Liquor. We'll have Sunday's game for you in Houston against the Texans. Of course, it is a 1 o'clock kick, but your day with us starts at 7 with Fantasy Breakfast. 8 o'clock game day, 10 o'clock countdown to kickoff, the 1 o'clock kick, post-game show with Shope and the Bulldog, and the Real Deal Overtime Show with Nate Geary at 6 o'clock. That is your lineup all day Sunday for Bills football on WGR.
Giants-Eagles tonight. Big one for the Giants and the Eagles, right? I mean, Philadelphia, they are, what?
They're 2-3.
Two and three.
No one has a winning record in the NFC division, East. So.
Does any team look worse right now? I'm trying to think. Who had, like, the Giants were bad last year. So for them to be bad, you can kind of lay it at the feet of Eli Manning.
I understand he's not playing well this year.
No,
I have not seen the Giants yet other than highlights. I'm actually looking forward to see what Barkley looks like.
There is something to be said for Washington, too.
Yeah.
They're not getting so what they thought they'd get out of Alex Smith.
Yeah, right.
Which I guess shouldn't be that big of a surprise.
How about Dallas? I mean, look where they were 2 years ago and what's happened since. And last year you kind of thought, well, Ezekiel Elliott was suspended, right? He missed some time. Maybe they had some injuries. But Dallas is not doing anything in that division. Is that the worst division in football right now? It does have the defending Super Bowl champions in it, but nobody's got a winning record.
It sure looks like it.
So I'm interested to see how Saquon Barkley looks. I'll watch for that, certainly watching Carson Wentz. And who are the Eagles using at running back tonight? Ajay's out. He's done. Sproles, I think,
Wendell
has been ruled out.
Smallwood?
Okay. All right, because Sproles is still out. I don't know if Clement's back, so you probably are right. Watch the running game tonight. If the Eagles lose and they can't run the ball, my guess is they're going to be burning up the phone lines maybe with a little more intensity to find a running back.
Right. Smallwood was like the biggest fantasy football waiver wire addition this week because of all the injuries to their backs and what he might do.
Yep.
So could see a little dose of Wendell Smallwood.
Okay. I will ask Scott Pianowski about that because that's a fantasy implication there.
I mean, he had all of... I'm trying to see how many carries he had. Not many.
So, yeah, if they're running
They played Minnesota
stinks.
Last week. He had 3 carries last week, but averaged 9 yards a carry. So he's getting – he might get a look tonight.
Yeah. Although I think Clement and Sproles are both – they're coming back eventually. I don't have a time frame on it, but, like, Ajay, we know, is out for the year. The other two guys, I think, are due back. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Got some calls to get to. We got some fantasy football to get to. We got a win cash code word to give you as well. So try and see if we can get you $1,000. The word is cherry. C-H-E-R-R-Y. Text that right now to 72881. Reminder that message and data rates may apply. You have until 9 o'clock to text it in. Cherry, C-H-E-R-R-Y. That is our Win Cash code word for this hour. We'll have another code word coming up at 9:25, and then show up at the Bulldog. We'll have more code words this afternoon as we continue to play the National Win Cash Contest from WGR. Derek Anderson went through his first practice with the Bills yesterday, and not much from Sean McDermott on the LeSean McCoy trade rumor front. Really didn't want to get into that, not surprisingly. Speaking of the Eagles, who maybe would want LeSean McCoy back, they're in action tonight, taking on the Giants. That's your Thursday night matchup. There's hockey tonight. Sabres take on Colorado. 7 o'clock faceoff at KeyBank Center. We'll have the game here on WGR. And Zach Bogosian and Vladimir Sobotka both returned to practice yesterday. Bogosian said he's not ready to return to play just yet. Ovi, a couple goals in the Caps win over Vegas. And, yeah, that's pretty much what you need to know. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 9 o'clock.
Quick thing. So we mentioned Nashville putting up the Western Conference champion banner. And then we found out that Washington, Western Conference regular season champion.
Yeah.
Washington, Dallas, San Jose, Detroit.
Regular season? Detroit!
Have put
Hockey
up
Town?
Regular season conference champion banners.
Why would Detroit do that? Like, they have tons of banners in Detroit.
So anyway, that led to Twitter getting a hold of this and deciding that the Sabres needed more banners. And Twitter, with the hashtag Sabres banners, we are collecting a list of banners the Sabres should put up. And we'll put together the comprehensive list because there's a couple good ones, such as first team to finish 31st. That was from Peter.
There's got to be something from the tank season. Somebody has got to come up
The tank
with.
Worked.
Yeah.
Put a banner on it.
Right.
Let's pop.
Just the tank and the years, right?
The tank.
The tank. No.
2014, 2015. We tanked.
We'll send it off to the shop, see how it looks.
Let's get some banners up there.
With, of course, the logo of a tank.
Tell your franchise's history in the form of banners.
Right? You'd put up a giant tank with a Sabres logo smack dab on the side of the tank. Blue and gold colors.
I'll check this, and yeah.
All right. We're going to talk some fantasy football, and we're going to get some calls, too. Let us bring in Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Sports.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead, Scott.
Scott, how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Scott, it's a fantasy segment, so I want to talk to you about Guillotine because it's my obsession these days. Mm-hmm. Guillotine. So strategy for a Guillotine league, the biggest thing to try and understand is the waiver period, what to do. I feel like a coach that ended a game with timeouts in my pocket because I didn't go big. And I think I need to add some talent. For those that don't know, Guillotine is the last place team gets eliminated. Their players go on waivers. This week it was Julio Jones, Julian Edelman. Last week it was Gronk and Beckham. And I haven't picked up any of these guys. And I feel like a guy with, like I said, timeouts, and I'm going to lose with them in my pocket. Is the strategy in Guillotine to spend big early?
Yeah, I would definitely prioritize and try to get stronger. I mean, it has to depend on your needs, of course, but there's no way I would, as you said, the timeouts in your pocket, the free spin on Wheel of Fortune, there's no way I would die with that.
So even if it's a small upgrade, let's say, is Gronk...
You're mentioning really good players. I mean, Edelman maybe I wouldn't have added, but, a Gronkowski, although you don't think he's one red zone target?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him. He used to be tight end number one with a bullet, maybe draft him number one in a snake draft. Where is Gronk's value right now?
Well, it's been an awful year for tight ends. A bunch of them getting hurt, a bunch of them not producing. If we were to redraft right now, the first two tight ends off the board, the way I would do it, would be either Kelce or Ertz. I think Kelce's a little bit more talented. Ertz is maybe a little bit more valuable to his team and gets a few more targets. So they're kind of one and two. And Gronkowski, he's playing through. It's a very physical position. He's a Hall of Fame blocker as it is. I mean, he's not just you know, some of these guys just who are tight ends, they're just in tight end in name only. You know, I mean, they, Evan Engram, when he plays, I mean, he hardly blocks anybody. Jimmy Graham has been a poor blocker for years, maybe not even a great receiver anymore. But Gronkowski is a, you know, he's a put your hand on the ground and you know, blow guys up. I mean, he's very important to them for the collisions that he gets into. So, he's obviously not going to end the year with one red zone target, but it's been a very strange year for him. I mean, he doesn't have a 20-yard catch since week one either. So I guess you could make the case for me. I would accept it that this is not, you know, Gronkowski is certainly on the back nine of his career. And now if I were redrafting, I mean, I wouldn't even consider him probably until the fourth round, which means I would think somebody would take him before I would.
I had a LeSean McCoy question for you, since there's really nobody else worth talking about from the Bills for fantasy. So he reemerged in the offense on Sunday. What is his... I assume his fantasy value has been pretty low this season, and is it possible... I mean, I'm not sure how to phrase the second part of this, Scott. These rumors about the Eagles, if LeSean McCoy gets traded, his fantasy value would be much better, right, going from this offense to Philadelphia.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, I respect that Buffalo is a... This is a very blue-collar team. 79 passing yards on Sunday, and they win anyway. But it's not, you know, the passing game. You know, Allen's doing the best he can. There aren't great receivers on this team. Clay isn't having a great year. Just by the presence. I mean, the thing about fantasy is that every player is important because of his individual talent. But you're also investing in the scheme. You're also investing in the quarterback. You're also investing in the overall success of the offense. And just the fact is, you know, moving from Allen, who's in his first year, who's, you know, trying to develop, to somebody like Carson Wentz, who maybe isn't in his finest form right now, but I mean, he's probably the MVP of the league before he got hurt last year. Obviously, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So, you know, Ertz is on that offense, Jeffrey's on that offense, Nelson Aguilar's on that offense. You know, we talked about Ertz earlier, Jeffrey. I mean, this is just a lot of good players on this offense. It, even if it's not maybe a top two or three offense like we would have hoped, it's certainly like a top 10 offense. So in fantasy, it's so everything is so connected to the other pieces in an offense, and you know, it has to be an upgrade that way. But at least McCoy, you know, I mean, you know, he's going to be the centerpiece of the Buffalo offense. You know, he's going to get the touches. He's going to be there's so few running backs now who get even 10 to 12 carries a week. I find myself more happy with my second running back on my team, more content with somebody who, I mean, Austin Eckler I've played in a couple of leagues. I mean, that guy carries the ball maybe five times a game. He'll get a couple of catches. I mean, you know, he may make an explosive play. What we're willing to accept and be fine with for our second running backs is a lot, you know, less than it used to be. It used to be the rule of, you know, flex position in fantasy is you always wanted to flex a running back. Now that's kind of shifted to you probably want to flex a wide receiver. So we're willing to accept and be happy with a lot less, but that's a very long answer for what you asked.
Well, simple question. Follow up. I mean, Scott Pianowski joining us. You know, you talk about investing in an offense and a guy's role in an offense. How about Kamara? Just like the Kamara panic is probably overblown, but I mean, he is going to see his workload dip a bit with Engram back.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is we've seen these guys play together before, and certainly Kamara was the number one weapon, you know, on that offense. You know, look at what's happened for Michael Thomas. I mean, he was on a crazy pace for targets, three touchdowns the first 2 weeks. He hasn't scored since, although he still had a nice game on Monday. I think he had 79 yards or something like that, but the thing with Kamara is he had such a heavy workload in those first four games. And I think they got into a game where they were ahead, they were controlling it. They wanted to get Engram, you know, get him acclimated in the offense, you know, knock off whatever rust he might have left. And you know, even though he didn't score the two touchdowns, it wasn't like Engram had a great game. I mean, he averaged about like 3.3 a carry or something like that. But interesting, the Saints have a very difficult schedule after their bye. And they're going to have plenty of games where they're going to be behind. They may be chasing the game. It's not a good defense. And I know they had some moments Monday, but that might have been more about Washington's offense, which is a mess right now, than the Saints on defense. We'll see what the Saints do when they're down 14 points. Or 10 points of the game, which is going to happen a fair amount of the time. I don't think that's when Mark Ingram will be the centerpiece of the offense. I just think it was a perfect storm. The game flowed a certain way. that didn't want to use Kamara. I mean, he had 31 touches in one game earlier this year. They certainly don't want to play that way. But with New Orleans on their bye, this sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, but I've seen some really crazy Kamara trades going down where people are over-applying what just happened with Ingram. The recency bias is something we want to try to leverage in fantasy. And the Saints don't play this week. I don't think it's a bad idea to take the temperature of the Kamara owner. I wouldn't take him second overall, which people might have thought a few weeks ago, but he's still a top five player to me.
I want to circle back kind of to Josh Allen, but I want to ask you about the offenses with the rookie quarterbacks. I saw a note today about Larry Fitzgerald's stats, and they've been really bad. And granted, that's not just Rosen. That was Bradford's off. The offense with Bradford was horrible. But when you look at the fantasy numbers for the running backs and the wide receivers, for the Bills, the Browns, the Jets, the Cards, are they all suffering? Is anybody thriving with the young quarterback?
Things are certainly better in Cleveland because Mayfield is willing to pull the trigger on throws that Taylor wouldn't do. And although nobody's really gone ballistic in that offense, it's been good for Carlos Hyde overall. He's second in the league, I think, in rushing attempts. And you know, we talked earlier about just hanging your hat on somebody getting volume. But I think Njoku, we also talked about what a bad year it's been for tight ends. I think he had 69 yards in his last game. I think he's really close to breaking out. I was talking earlier to a colleague where I think Njoku is somebody I'd rather have than Jordan Reed, somebody I'd rather have than Jimmy Graham. The arrow is pointing up with him. Cleveland hasn't really found a second receiver they can hang their hat on. Landry's been really good, and just the vice grips are a really good option route guy. But Higgins has been inconsistent. Callaway's been inconsistent. And then Higgins is hurt now, too. I think Njoku is somebody with Mayfield making Cleveland a much more viable team. They're games, too. I mean, a bunch of overtime games. Mm-hmm. They've had a tie. It feels like every week when I rewatch games, I want to rewatch the Rams and the Chiefs first because just their offenses are so beautiful to watch. But Cleveland has played five really interesting games. You know, even with you throw Hugh Jackson in there, I'm not sure he's a good coach, but he is an entertaining coach on some level. It seems like Mayfield, to me, is the most advanced of the rookie quarterbacks right now.
Scott Pianowski joining us from Yahoo Sports. You can read his work at Yahoo Sports, their website, sports.yahoo.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Scott Pianowski, at Scott_Pianowski. And we always appreciate Scott giving us his time here Thursday morning to talk fantasy football. Thank you, Scott. As always, good luck to all your teams this weekend.
I appreciate it. Good talk to you guys.
Thank you very much, Scott, on our AT&T hotline.
I did, in one of my leagues, toss out a...
Boy, the Gronk stat. Wow.
Yeah, a crazy trade for Kamara. But yeah, Gronk, I was...
Why are people freaking out about Kamara?
In one of my leagues, I may or may not have been in talks to try to acquire Gronk. Wow. And I'm not quite sure what I was... like.
He's such a big... Why wouldn't he be the target in the red zone?
Right, at one point...
I can't believe you're not throwing him the ball.
What, 2 years ago? The trendy thing was Gronk as the first pick.
Okay.
You get such a return on him at tight end.
Right.
He's so... separates himself maybe 3 years ago, but now one red zone target,
that's for a guy of his stature and a matchup nightmare that he is in the end zone, you'd think that would be a surefire wave. And there's that, you know, Brady's comfortable with Gronk and all that stuff. I was really surprised when you had that stat. So, and Kamara I would think would still be extremely productive even if Ingram shaves into some of his touches. I mean, you've got a guy in a high-scoring offense. Kamara's not going to be phased out of that offense. He's really good.
He is very good.
Yeah. All right. Your pick of the week is on the way in a moment. 803-0550 to join us.
Yes, it is. And my pick of the week is going to be a little fun trivia game based on a hockey result from last night.
Before we do that, we always look and help you, the listeners of WGR, out. This time we're going to try and help out your tailgate. If it needs some freshening up, your menu... just visit WGR550.com. Go there now. You have until Sunday to submit an entry telling us why you need to freshen up your tailgate menu. The winner of our contest will get a $300 gift certificate valid for Rachel's Mediterranean Catering. Again, submit your entry. Try and win the gift certificate for $300. Submit your entry at WGR550.com.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to it too much. I mean, trade stuff and everything else. I should never have traded anyway. I was killing stuff, you know? But I don't ever really pay too much attention to it. This week got the Texans. I'm worried about that. Got a good defense. I mean, a lot of big name guys on that offensive line. So got my hands full this week. You know, last week was my first week of really getting out there running, trying to get some rust off, you know, actually get going play after play. It felt good.
LeSean McCoy on thinking about this week instead of thinking about trade rumors. Time for the pick of the week. It's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Their pick of the week is a 2014 Subaru XV Crosstrek. Marty Sr., Marty Jr. found this gem in excellent condition. A stylish body, sporty rims, black in color, a premium package, 2.0 liter, 16-valve engine, automatic, all-wheel drive, as good as all-wheel drive gets when it comes to a Subaru. See this unique and reliable Subaru at Riverfront on Niagara Street. It is $16,995 for this Subaru. Call 886-1626. My pick of the week is going to be putting our program director, Alan Davis, through trivia.
Yeah, this, and we got to do this fast.
Since
he's here, we cannot be late.
Okay, perfect. Here it is. Yeah.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Yep.
Sometimes we do instant trivia where we all guess, and sometimes we do the version of how many can you get right without getting one wrong. Okay?
All right.
Alex Ovechkin scored 2 goals last night. He's now 17th all-time in goals. Alan, Howard, Brayton, who wants to bid? How many of the 16 that are in front of him can you get right without getting one wrong?
Wow.
We could go 16 pretty well. Goal scorers with more career than Alex Ovechkin.
My brain hurts just thinking of him.
Well, you got Gretzky.
You can't name him.
You got a bid.
You got a bid. How many do you think you can get before you get one wrong? And whoever gets the highest number
goes for it.
Like, how many? You can name 8 of them, 5 of them, 12 of them.
Oh, okay.
So you got to come up with a
contest. Very good.
Alan's thinking 16.
I'm thinking pretty high.
You go for it, man. I'll
put a bid in first at 11.
11. Can you go 12?
Yeah, I can go better than 11.
You guys can take it because my brain hurts thinking of all this stuff. So go ahead.
12?
Yeah.
Okay.
All you got to do is name 12.
How many of them are there?
There are 16.
16? All right.
Roll them.
Okay. Well, you got Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
You have Lemieux. You have
that's two.
Brett Hall.
Number four all time.
You have Jaromir Jagr.
Correct. He is number 3.
You have Mike Gartner.
Number 7.
You have Marcel Dion.
Number 5.
You have, pause here for a second. You have Steve Yzerman.
Number 9 all time.
You have.
Go, Alan, go.
I want him to get all 16.
He's doing good.
16 goal scorers ahead of Alex Ovechkin. There are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mike Bossy.
Very good, right? He's got to be on there, right? No?
Incorrect.
Oh, I thought Bossy would be there.
Well, you know, he scored 50 goals every year, but he didn't play enough games. Yeah.
Number 2 all time. I think he's number 2. Right?
Behind. Number 2 has not been mentioned.
Gordie Howe.
Right, Gordie Howe.
Especially an old guy like you should have got.
Phil Esposito.
Number 6.
Another one in that 700 range, right? Is there another one in the 700 range?
No.
Oilers.
You all the rest have 600 plus.
Oh, Mark Messier.
Number 8 with 694. Now,
Yari Curry.
You have the top 10. Curry is not correct.
Okay, I thought he was in there somewhere.
You have the top 10. The remaining above will go Hintland. Scored 76 as a rookie.
Solani.
Played his whole career. Did he play his whole career with the Kings and was never, ever thought of? Everyone forgot about him. And scored 668.
Luke Robitaille?
Yep.
Wow. Dale Hawerchuk?
No.
Ooh.
Currently used to do player safety, now works with the Leafs.
Brendan Shanahan.
Wow, yeah. 600,
scored a crap ton of goals and doesn't get any credit for it because it was all in the power play.
Dave Andrechuk.
Correct. Just recently retired. Very recently.
Oh,
to the point where you're like, wow, he played still?
Daniel Sedin.
No.
Not Zetterberg.
Mostly with the Flames.
Mostly with the Flames.
Oh,
Jerome McGinley.
Yes,
correct.
Jerome McGinley. Yes,
and right. The next person that Ovechkin would pass, number 16, is currently the GM of the team that he scored a lot of goals for.
Yeah, that's
GM or president, whatever.
Of the team.
And they're in town tonight.
Oh, Joe Sakic.
Yeah. Joe Sakic.
Those are the 16 with more goals than Ovechkin.
Good. You did good, man.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You did good.
Done, I think I could have done better there.
Well, I mean, you know, for a guy your age with memory issues, you know, look, and I can relate.
You and me together. So,
I understand how it works. All right, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. We've been talking about Derek Anderson. What do the Bills do here? Do you stay with Allen? If Allen struggles, let him play through it. Do you think they would go to Anderson at some point? You can share your thoughts on the quarterback discussion with us here at WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.